Good morning, good afternoon, and good evening. This is the NORALO Monthly Teleconference on Monday, the 11th of August, 2014 at 1900 UTC. On the call today, we have Glenn McKnight, Sarah Alkire, Gordon Chilcott, Olivia Crevin-LeBlond, John LaPrice, Eduardo Diaz, Garth Bruin, Alan Skews, Louis Hooley, Jim Osman, Judith Hellerstein, Constantine Constantine Kalatazidis, Ellen Greenberg, Jolie McPhee, and Seth Reese. We have no apologies. From staff, we have Heidi Ulrich, Sylvia Vivanco.
Augie.
Welcome, Augie. Joe Catapano.
Joined.
Schnitt, and myself, Terry Agnew. I would also like to remind all participants to please state your name before speaking for transcription purposes. Thank you very much, and back over to you, Garth.
Thank you, Terry. As Terry said, this is Garth, and there are no apologies. Never apologize. Just kidding. Welcome all to the August NORALO teleconference. If the secretary could be so kind as to review the action items, appreciate it, Glenn. Thank you.
Sure. Thank you. Glenn McKnight, for the record, we have 11 items on our list today, starting off with 2.1. Staff, please advise on the status of the ALS application of Online News Association. Second item, 2.2, for Natalie, the ALS RALO database is to show the date of updating. Please advise on the status. 2.3, again, to Natalie, to notify RALO leaders and the ALAC members when the RALO ALS database is updated. 2.4, staff, please on the status for Garth Graham on his travel reimbursement, the status of that. 2.5, please advise on the status of Robert Contenay, ISOC Quebec, on his travel reimbursement. 2.6, staff, we have also requested that CT remove the on-site during the meeting. This option should only be used if you do not have any bank account option from the travel support form, as this has caused confusion. 2.7, all potential ALS decertifications pending. PeopleWho.org and Web 405. To our knowledge of the staff, to the knowledge of the chair, they have not voted or participated at any at-large summits or calls. The chair will conduct extensive outreach and collect regional consensus before proceeding to the next step. Please alert the secretary or staff if you have any knowledge or communication with either of these two groups. 2.8, staff, please report to the chair and the secretary on the official voting history and call attendance of both these organizations. 2.9, staff, please check on the request for, to Steve Crocker inviting Ken Herringstein to present at the LA PER at-large leadership meeting, as we discussed in Buenos Aires, C4.1.5. 2.10, all RALO and RALO will be opening official communication with Aaron. Per the request of the at-large board representatives, we may appoint someone from the region to be the Aaron liaison. Please send your expression of interest to the secretary. 2.11, staff, secretary, possible ALS duplication, emerging futures network, and youth helping youth, and Sarah's on the line today, are sometimes treated as distinct groups, but they are the same organization. Please ensure information is consistent across our data stores. Back to you.
Thank you very much, Glenn, and I will give staff a moment to inform on anything they have updates on from that list. Staff?
Hello, Garth. This is Sylvia Vivanco. You have a question regarding the first one, the 2.1, advice on the status of the ILS Application Online News Association. On our part, the staff has already conducted the due diligence, so we are awaiting the written advice from NORALO. So that's one point of clarification. And I also wanted to ask for some clarity on number 2.9 regarding the invitation. What specific meeting you would like this invitation?
Well, this is Garth. During our at-large leadership wrap-up meeting in Buenos Aires, we had met
Evan
with
Leibovich.
joined.
We had met with Stephen Crocker, and Stephen Crocker used to be a co-worker of Ken Harenstein's. We had asked, or I had asked, Steve if he would ask Ken if he would be willing to present to us. Ken is deaf, and he is one of the original architects of the ARPANET. He lives in the Los Angeles area, and we thought that this would be a great way of introducing the community to deaf uses of the Internet and deaf interaction on the Internet, and also the role that hearing-impaired people have played in Internet development. And since Steve used to work with him, we had asked, and I believe Steve requested that his administrator who was with him or staff person follow up on that, and we just wanted to see if there was ever any communication.
Follow up then internally, and we will get back to you on this.
Okay. Sylvia, you're also somewhat faint, and there's a bit of an echo. Just wanted to let you know.
Okay. Is this better?
That's much better.
I was using a speakerphone, but now it's better.
Okay. Great. So, Glenn, in terms of item number one, Online News Association, are we doing our regional advice on that, or have we done it?
Yeah, we did it twice. We did it back in July, and I did it again as well. So I sent out to both the lists to journalist.org is their organization. So, yes, I've done that.
All right. This is Garth, the chair. Then I will request a consensus on this ALS application, and you can do so by putting the agreed checkbox within Adobe Connect. If you are not on Adobe Connect, you can just say yay or nay on the phone and identify yourself. And if anybody has any specific comments on this ALS application, please raise your hand and you will be permitted to speak. I see the checkboxes.
Garth, this is Evan. I'm not on Adobe Connect. I'm okay with this.
Thank you. Okay, I see a lot of affirmations. If there is any objection, please let us know as soon as possible, and I will send out one more reminder to the list after the meeting. So if anybody does have an objection, they will be permitted to be heard, but I don't see anybody having a problem with it. So as far as staff goes, can we record that there was consensus on moving forward with this application on this call today?
Guys, this is Sylvia. We will record it.
Thank you so much. Okay. Are there any other staff responses to any of the other action items?
Yes, Garth, this is Sylvia. Regarding the action items regarding constituency travel and travel reimbursement, I believe you already have the first person received already the reimbursement, and we are following up with constituency travel regarding the other requests.
Okay. So then I take it there are no other staff responses or updates to any of the other items.
Yes, this is Sylvia. Regarding the other items, I see some new ones that were just posted maybe half an hour ago.
Yep.
And then we will follow up on them. So I will take those. Okay.
Thank you. Okay. Thank you so much. Okay. Moving on to agenda item 3, updates, meetings, and events. The first item is the recent election, and the election results are that Glenn McKnight will be representing ALAC in the next session, and we don't have any announcements from the nominating committee, do we, for the other position yet?
Hi, this is Heidi.
Yes.
No, not yet, but we are expected this Friday.
This Friday. Thank you. Okay, much appreciated. I appreciate everybody being involved in the election, and as I have noted to many of you publicly and privately, I am preparing an election report, and I have collected various stories about different frustrations people had or a lack of awareness of the election, and I am going to be taking all those into account and preparing the report, and I would encourage anyone else who wants to share their experience about the election to please send me any information or comments. You are certainly welcome to make your comments publicly. You are I would be happy to put your name in the report. If you don't want your name in the report, if you want your comments to be anonymous, that is acceptable as well. This report will be coming from the chair and not necessarily from individuals, and really I'm just trying to develop a consensus and a feeling from the region about the way that the elections operate. Sylvia, you have your hand up. Do you have another comment to make?
Oh, excuse.
That's an old hand. So.
Join.
Okay. Thank you. Okay. So anybody can follow up with me about their concerns about the election. The next call will be September 8th, Monday, 2014. And then the actual in-person meeting is Los Angeles. And we have within there, we have the pre-ICANN LA Academy Leadership Training. And Heidi, you have some comments about this particular event?
Hi, this is Heidi. Yeah, it's actually the 2014 Leadership Training Program, LTP. I mean, this is the second one. It's still a pilot. And the Naralo representatives will be Alan, the people who are being selected to go, there'll be only one person chosen by the ALAC and the working group are Alan and Glenn. This will be held in Los Angeles the week prior to the LA meeting. The dates are 8th through 10th of October. And it's a fantastic program.
Thank you very much. And this is the academy that is run by the Uralo member Sandra Hoffrichter. Is this correct?
Yes. Again, it's not really officially called the academy. It's under the umbrella of the academy. But yes, that's the group that's running that.
Thank you. And I can tell you, just having worked with Sandra, she has put a lot of personal effort into this. She takes it very, very seriously, and we've been very supportive of her efforts. Glenn, you have your hand up. Go ahead.
Yeah, I just want to mention, if people are curious on why Ellen and myself they were looking for two names, one experienced person, and you can't get more experienced than Ellen, and then an incoming person, newbie. So that's and you had to be sponsored travel. That was the criteria that was in this election. And then ALAC makes the decision which of the two would be going.
Okay. Was there a question there at the beginning, Glenn, or are you just making a statement?
No, I'm just clarifying that in case somebody had any queries on how those two names were selected.
Okay, thank you. Okay, next. We have the Los Angeles showcase, and Glenn is in charge of that, so I will turn the floor over to Glenn to discuss this item. Thank you.
Thank you. Glenn, for the record, as you know, every railo tries to do a showcase or an outreach event during an ICANN event, so it's in our region, so we are organizing an event, and it looks like, I think, Heidi, it's Wednesday night, I believe. And we're working on the agenda and sponsorship, and one of the big things in our call right after this call is the details and logistics of that. So it follows in the same vein of what we did at Atlas One in Mexico, what we did in Toronto, and what recently we did with the Fair of Opportunities. So back to you.
Okay, thank you very much. Yes, our recruiting efforts, our outreach efforts have been extremely successful so far. And we want to continue and expand that so we can reach as large an audience as possible. So your participation, the participation of the region, is critical to that. And as we said at the beginning of the call, the outreach discussion will occur at half past the next hour on the same line, same telephone number, same dialing code, and we'll begin that discussion. And then right from there, right into our CROP travel suggestions, CTIA's Super Mobility Week, September 9th, 10th, 11th in 2014. Whose suggestion was that? Okay, it's all right. And then there's also the Telco Big Data event. And I think that those may be similar events that are squeezed together. I didn't put this one up, so I'm not sure about that, but they're the same or similar dates, and I'm not sure if they're happening in the same space. I'm sorry, did somebody say something?
Yeah, I was just saying those timelines are probably too tight for the eight-week lead time at this stage. September 9th and 10th for Crop to make that decision.
Okay. All right. The MOG Boston, this is something that I'm attending, and I didn't apply for a Crop. I mean, it's just a subway stop away. It's not something I need funding for. But I will be distributing at-large materials and discussing with different groups there the possibility of becoming at-large structures, but I don't need to apply to Crop for that. Then there's the Consumer Electronics Show in January, and I know that there's been ongoing, long-term discussion about this, and Evan was a big proponent of this. How's this looking?
Garth, this is Evan. I just put into the chat, almost anticipating what you were going to say, essentially, all the paperwork that has been done previously to explain and justify participation in the Consumer Electronics Show has been done before. Does this need to be all rewritten and resubmitted and done in Comic Sans this time?
Okay, so, I mean, I guess if we have any Crop representatives, I think I saw Alan Skuse on the call. Does Evan need to do anything additional? Does he need to resubmit?
Yeah, the form has changed slightly, so it would be a good idea to make sure that the bases are covered just by new one.
Okay.
All right.
Evan, do you think you can handle filling it out again and submitting it again?
Yeah, a lot of cut and paste, sure.
All right. Next we have N10 in March in Austin, Texas. What is this event? Is anybody familiar with this event?
We only did it this year in Crop.
I'm sorry, what?
Garth, we did that this year with Crop.
That's a previous event? Okay.
No. Right. The idea is going to it for a second time.
Oh, okay. All right, good. That's what I thought. Okay. And then South by Southwest in March, this has also come up. And if anybody else has any other events, keeping in mind that this is intended to be part of our outreach and recruitment efforts, so it should be an event where we can meet other potential ALSs. Okay. Does anybody have any further comments on agenda item 3 before we move on? No? Okay. Moving into our communications and outreach strategy. Yes, we are continuing to engage with the disabled communities. And Tom, you have your hand up, please. Go ahead, Tom. Tom, if you're on mute, we can't hear you. And while we're waiting, I'm going to go to Judith. Judith, go ahead.
Can you hear me?
I can hear you,
yep.
Judith.
Okay. So my question was, I put in the Crop for South by Southwest, but Glenn and I also submitted something last year on the budget, and so we never heard. And the suggestion, so I was wanting to find out whatever happened to that before we submit something for Crop. And then also, I know this year they're paying for registration, but if something is expensive, is there a limit? And so I'm trying to find out some more information on that.
Judith's first question was about a previously submitted application, and her second question
Not to Crop, but as a budget item.
What was the budget item you requested?
Glenn and I put in to go to South by Southwest before we knew the Crop was extended.
Okay. Okay, and who did you submit that application to?
I don't remember the budget people.
Okay.
When they were looking for a special budget.
Yeah, Garth, it's Glenn. It was Heidi that asked for it. Maybe she can clarify it. It was for the FY15 budget.
Yeah, I'm happy to clarify that.
Please, go ahead, Heidi.
So that was put in as a fiscal year 14 special request, and on April 30th, all of the responses were published. Unfortunately, Norallo's requests were not approved. So that was not that will not be approved for the fiscal year 15. So you could still do that for the crop. For just if I could, while I have the floor, for the fiscal year, 16 special requests will be opening in December, which is about a month earlier than last year, which is good news because there'll be time for people to go into more detail in their applications.
Okay, this is Garth again. Heidi, how would the applicants be notified if the item was not approved, and were they?
No. So again, it was published, this is Heidi, it was published on the 30th of April, and I believe the FBSC would have been informed of that. Olivia, I'm not sure if you want to expand on that.
Olivia, you're more than welcome to.
Yeah, thanks. It's Olivia speaking. I've put in the chat what the deal is. Your representatives on the Finance and Budget Subcommittee should have transmitted these news over to you when this was published. Thank you.
Okay. All right. For the sake of efficiency, I hate to sound so preachy. It's always good to have the initial point of contact. You know, be responsible for following up. I understand that these things happen. And also I suppose that if the applicants themselves are aware of some sort of expected announcement or deadline date, they can keep an eye on that too. But these are constant communication issues that we need to keep track of. Go ahead, Olivia.
Yeah, thanks very much, Garth. It's Olivia speaking. So your representatives on the Finance and Budget Subcommittee are Eduardo Diaz, Alan Skews, and Darlene Thompson. They're the points of contact which you should be in touch with because they're the ones who are in the right committee to liaise with you. We try and reduce the number of overall announcements on the main list because otherwise it's just too much, too much of an overflow for everyone. So these are the channels which should have transmitted the news to you. Thank you.
Thank you, Olivier. This is Garth. I appreciate the reduction in public announcements, but I guess what I'm saying is that when two people submit a budget request for something to a specific staff person, they might expect to hear the response from staff, not necessarily from a separate committee. I mean, I suppose if they had submitted the application to that committee, they would be expecting the response from that committee. I mean, it's an issue of continuity, and I'm not pointing blame on anybody. I just think that this isn't just another example of something that needs to be streamlined as far as communication goes. Olivia, go ahead.
Yeah, thanks very much, Glenn. And I don't want to eternalize the discussion here, but it is the Finance and Budget Subcommittee that submits these things over to ICANN Finance. ICANN Finance then publishes the budget request responses. The Finance and Budget Subcommittee takes those, and it's supposed to be sending it back to all the railers. Now, if they don't, then it's your job, I guess, to choose people to go on that Finance and Budget Subcommittee that will do the job they have to do. I know that staff tries to help, but they're just overworked.
Thank you. Nope, I understand. Heidi has her hand up, and then Augie has his hand up. Go ahead, Heidi.
Thank you. Just really quickly on the issue of the results, you'll note that all of the RALO's requests for regional travel had the same response, and that was that they should apply for the CROP, under the CROP, for these kinds of trips. So I don't know if it's so much an issue of communication, which I do hear you, but I think it's more the response, the message coming back from finance
or the group that looks at these special requests is that these regional travel requests should be made under the crop versus special requests. And also I believe that this year's crop now has an additional note where you can put in requests for booths and things. So I know, Evan, the Las Vegas trip needed that additional budget for that.
Okay. Thank you, Heidi. Augie, I'm going to recognize you. You have the floor.
Yeah, thank you. I hope you can hear me.
Yes, you can. Please go ahead.
My one question is, I assume we have a report that's being submitted after every one of those activities to where we can see that, you know, for example, we were able to meet with certain organizations, and here are the results. So that's my first question. And the second question is, do we have a way to capture work that's being done to acquire additional LASs? For example, I'm going to be going to a conference that I can basically do that work and not, you know, I don't have to get any funding for travel, but I can do that work when I'm traveling and I'm just there at an event.
Yeah, Augie, this is Garth. Absolutely. I mean, we have a wiki page, which is currently where we're storing this work and updating this work.
Okay.
And I'm looking for a link to it in the agenda, and I don't see one, but I can get the page. It will only take me a second, and I will put that link to the page in the chat, and then I will resend it to everybody later. But what you will see, Augie, and I'm glad that you asked this question. It almost sounds like a plant. What you will see is a list of recommended community groups, internet community groups in North America, and you will see a status of groups who have been contacted and where they are within the application process. You will also see there on that page, you will see a number of tools that we might use to recruit these groups. In addition to information about crop, you'll find form letters, you'll find the Norallo slideshow, you'll find links to the application status, and you'll find outreach events calendar link, and you'll find the applications, the ALS applications in English, Spanish, and French, along with the explanations of each one of those also in that language. So I just put that link into the chat, and I will send it directly to the region to remind them of this. So basically we have, you know, Murray McKercher, myself, and Glenn McKnight, and we are happy to accept any recommendation for a group, and then we will contact them unless you want to contact them yourself. And we will start helping them navigate the process of applying to be an ALS. And then we will monitor their ALS application, just as we currently are doing with the journalist.org. And so we need everybody to participate in this, and this is actually something that we're going to be discussing, supposedly, at the call following this in the next hour. Does that answer your question, Augie?
Yeah, both questions. Thank you.
Thank you for asking. Okay. We were still talking about crop a little bit, I think. Did Tom? Tom had his hand up earlier, but we didn't get to hear him. Tom, do you still want to talk? Evan, you have your hand up. Go ahead, Evan.
I'm just going to bring to the fore a conversation that's been going on in the chat. Can somebody please point me to where the crop forms are? On the URL, I am staring at it right now, and there is a part of the URL. The only instance of the word forms is a line at the top saying completed forms will be moved into this section once they've been approved. There is nowhere to download forms off the Norallo official page for crop. So somebody could please enlighten me, inform me, email them to me, or whatever. It's just very frustrating.
Thank you. Yeah, if we could have that as an action item, that would be great. Augie had a second question. The second question was about reports from crop events. Absolutely. If you are funded to go to a crop event, you must submit a report. And we have had discussions about places to put documents, photographs, videos, whatever you might have collected in terms of your experience at a crop-funded event. So I think I remember I specifically having this conversation with Glenn. Glenn, is there a spot for putting the crop report specifically?
Yeah, if you go to the crop site, you can, again, you should be aware of what you're going. It's a marketing opportunity, and you should be quantifying who you spoke to, how much literature you sent out, making sure you have the literature before you go. This is a Norello marketing opportunity, so you absolutely have to document what you've done there and your success.
So, but Glenn, this is Garth again. Is there a specific spot that they can upload or send those reports?
Yes, they can.
Okay. Do we know what the link of that is? Is that within the crop pages?
Yes, it is.
Okay.
And Evan was asking for the actual new form. Actually, it's not there either. So maybe Alan can direct us to where the new form is.
Okay. Evan, you have your hand up again. Go ahead, Evan.
Sorry, old hand taking down.
Okay, thank you. Now, Tom has typed his question into the chat. His question was about what qualifies. So I guess we've already covered the fact that the travel is covered, and then registration was not covered previously, but it is now. And then, Tom, you put into the chat space rental. What is that? Are you talking about a vendor booth? Going to wait for Tom he's talking about a booth. Yes, so I believe that the booth, I think Heidi just mentioned that a booth would be part of it, and Evan, is that something that you're going to do for the Consumer Electronics Show, is that correct?
It's conceivable, to be honest with you. I didn't realize that funding was allowed for that. What I will do is immediately I will contact the organizers and get some idea of what the cost is. I'm assuming that the booth space would be 10 by 10, and so I imagine they will have a price for nonprofits and associations. I can report back with that. I don't want to risk our entire participation on whether or not a booth is allowed, so I would submit that almost as an addendum. So in other words, the booth is a nice to have. The attendance is a much more desirable to have.
Well, we could probably save money by having a 4x4 booth.
Not
Glenn,
one
you
all,
have your hand
not
up.
One,
ahead,
not
Glenn.
One that all said in.
Go ahead, Glenn.
On the booth thing, I don't think you should use the term booth. A typical booth at CES is probably $10,000. I think what Evan is talking about, he's probably right. There's probably a community village, which is just a tabletop or something. We had a tabletop at the IETF. It didn't cost us anything. So I would avoid the term booth, but some kind of semblance. It's tough to get your literature in bags. It's tough because they make money on this stuff. So I think Evan is going to research this.
Okay. I think I have an old refrigerator box in the basement if anybody needs it. All right. Have we addressed everybody's questions, concerns about crop? Glenn, you still have your hands up. Anything else?
No, sorry, I'll take it down.
Okay. So, yes. I started talking about disabled outreach. So, one of the discussions that came up in London with staff concerned testing of the website for visually impaired code. And the issue, at least something that I took issue with, was the fact that a consulting group, while the consulting group is definitely necessary, would be providing, you know, the bulk of the support for determining whether or not the site was accessible to visually impaired. I made the point that you really needed to have actually visually impaired people testing it. So I have communicated to our ALS, ViBug, the Visually Impaired and Blind User Group, that they should be involved in the testing. I did have confirmation from the ICANN staff that was there discussing this that their participation would be welcome. So I will do whatever I can to facilitate that and make that a reality. And then we've already discussed the possibility of having a demonstration of the deaf history and the deaf use of the Internet, and that's also noted there. Another item within this concerns the automation of the ALS application. I know that a while ago I had been working with Matt directly on it. Matt transferred from At Large over to a different group within ICANN, and I think that Ariel had sent me something about the automation. I have to go back and check my email, and we need to keep working on that. There's an item here about aligning CROP with outreach goals. We've already discussed that. Oh, okay, right there, Augie, 4.4, that's actually the link right there, outreach recruitment queue. That is actually the link to the page and the instructions. As I noted within the action items at the beginning of the meeting, we're going to be trying to recontact a couple of sheep who've wandered away from the herd, I suppose, and see if we can get them reengaged. And if we can't, we may have to go through the decertification process. But it's okay, because not everybody can stay with it forever. Some people get frustrated. Some people get out of the nonprofit business altogether. But we have new groups, and we're very, very happy to have those new groups. Tom Lohenhaupt has been trying to liaise between different municipal TLD applicants and operators, because some of them are community-based. Tom, did you have any comments on that? I know you had trouble getting on the line earlier. We'll see if Tom comes back in the chat again. If there are no objections, we can move beyond this. Oh, I'm sorry. I want to turn the floor over to Constantine. Constantine from ISOC San Francisco has a presentation prepared. He is our spotlight for this month. Constantine, if you are ready, please take the floor.
Okay. Can you hear me?
Maybe if a little bit louder.
Can you hear me at all?
I can hear you a little bit. It's a little bit louder. If we can get the volume up somehow, I don't know if staff can do anything on their end. Can you give us another test, Constantine? Don't hear anything if you're talking.
Garth, if I got a, while we're waiting, can I just say things?
Go ahead, Glenn.
For those who haven't done their spotlight, Sarah will be next month, but everyone has a scheduled time to do their presentation, so please, if you don't know which month you are, please get in touch with me and I'll send you the list. Thank you.
Staff, do we have the actual presentation from Constantine in a format to be displayed?
Can you hear me? Can you hear me now?
Yes, I can hear you now. Go ahead, Constantine.
Oh, good. Okay. Hey, Glenn. Or somebody, and instead of me getting trained to see how I can bring that up, I shared it both with you, Garth, and with Glenn as well. You can click on the link and bring it up.
Okay, I'm going to have to put that link in for staff to do. Hold on.
Okay. In the meantime, I'll just start speaking to save time.
Let me see.
So, hello, everyone. Thank you for the opportunity. Is it okay to proceed, Garth? This is Constantine for the record.
Give me one second. Okay. I shared an item with you. I shared it on Google Docs. Okay. Now, I see in the chat that Terry from staff has sent you a message. At Constantine, Terry, can you post it? If you send us the document, Constantine, I have sent you a private chat. Have you seen anything from Terry?
Okay, hang on.
Yep, I think if you put them, if you send it to them, they'll be able to put it into the call.
Okay, I'll send a PDF, and I'll do it right now. Okay, and I send it to Betty?
Constantine, this
is Terry. Who do I send it to?
Sorry. I'm sending you the email address right now in the private chat. Do you see that private chat, Constantine?
Okay. Yes.
Perfect. The staff at Outmark.
And let's see. Okay, so I see Sylvia Vivanco, ICANN.org. Oh, the chat. Can I just send it to Sylvia Vivanco at isac.org, I guess, or I'm sorry, at, let's see, I have somebody's address. Sylvia Vivanco at ICANN.org. Can I send it to you, Sylvia?
Yes, she said yes, Constantine.
Okay. Okay, it's being sent right now.
Just,
Can I just send it?
Within the chat, Tom is typing that he's having audio problems, but he will send us a report on his progress with working with the municipal TLDs. Thank you, Tom.
Okay. So should I wait, Garth, for the presentation?
Just wait one second. It shouldn't be long as long as they received it.
That's fine. Sylvia said, while I wait to get this, you may want to start if you wish.
So you can go ahead and start talking then.
Okay. All right, again, for the record, this is Constantine, Vice Chair for the San Francisco Bay ISAC and at-large structure. And so there are a few slides here, and it's based on previous presentations, but generally I'm going to start with an issue, and I'm on slide 3 right now whenever that comes up. And it's the SFA ISAC chapter, its mission is to enable members to exchange technical policy or otherwise relevant information among the group and so on, and reach out to other chapters as well, and reach out to the community, promote the core values of the Internet Society and now the ICANN, and interact with other ISAC chapters and other relevant groups as well as other ICANN at-large structures. Develop member programs. We have somebody, our treasurer is basically an expert on standards, so we're lucky for that. So we spend quite a bit of time looking at standards, then we look at public policy, education, and so on. But above all, I think what stands out, the ISAC acts as an incubator for developing new chapters, including the so-called Interplanetary Network, which recently became an IPN Internet Society Global Chapter, and I'll just say a bit more about that in about 3-4 minutes. And future plans include leveraging the Internet and associated technologies primarily as they apply to education globally. And I'm going to proceed to slide 4. And this deals with the ALS, SFA ISAC ALS impact on the region. Obviously, primarily it's awareness. community education. One of the goals that I have, basically, is to reach out to local universities. I used to work with universities before as part of my job. I like to start reaching out to the various clubs and societies. I work quite extensively with the Society of Women Engineers, some with IEEE as well, computer science clubs and so on. And I think that's part of our focus. Public forum events, we had some on cybersecurity. We had an INET on IPv6 in the past. In the future, we're looking to do something around the digital divide and women in technology. And we're inviting members to join and participate. We are trying to do our best to basically reach out. There's obviously a lot of competition for the time for people, especially here in Silicon Valley. So we're trying to figure out what's the best way to do this, including collaboration with other groups. And I think I'm going to go now to slide 5. So this is from actually Annalisa Rogers. She was my predecessor as an ICANN ALS representative for SFA ISOC, and she was also one of the founders. This was established, SFA ISOC was established a few years ago, basically, with it was the vision of Zaid Ali, our founder and the first chair and so on, and him as along with Frank Martin, Annalisa, and a few other folks got together. And basically, I think they were speaking to the chairman of ICANN at the time, Peter Dengate Thrush, I believe. And so he suggested that they get together and start forming the SF Bay Area Internet Society chapter. And the chapter itself went up and down with membership and stuff. And right now, one of our goals is basically to, we have quite a few names, like over 1,000, but we want to make sure that we have active members, so we're going to go through the chapter and clean up the names and make sure that we have people who are actually involved and engaged and so on. The next couple of stations will just show some of the events which we had, but I'm going to cover those. I'm on slide 9, and so in terms of past events, in 2010 in May, we had an INET, the future of the Internet, where we need to be in 10 years. Other events, we had software as a service. There was a .NEXT conference that SFA participated in to help put together in San Francisco. And then beyond SOPA and PIPA, we met at local companies and leveraged, you know, the subject matter experts at those local companies. And we had these local events for the community. The latest ones were in 2013. We had coverage from folks like Paul Briner from ISOC to basically provide the video feeds and so on, public forum on cybersecurity, and then cyber surveillance. And we had a cyber surveillance event and at CNET in San Francisco. And we had the last one basically at the University of Santa Clara or Santa Clara University, about cyber surveillance in Silicon Valley, impacts and responses. So there was heavy duty on cyber surveillance for this past year and last year. I think we're moving more towards education and women in technology and so on in the future. I'm going to move on to slide 10. Do I have three more minutes?
Please, go ahead.
Yeah, okay. So past projects, as I mentioned, we had created this project in 2011 of the SF Bay ISOC Interplanetary Network Project, which was based, it's all about space-based internet and terrestrial applications. This started as a project. Now there is a dormant group pretty much that was called the Interplanetary Network that Vint Cerf had put together among, with others in universities and some of the industry. But it was primarily in the background as research, as academic. Vint wanted to move this forward, so we basically decided as a group, as the chapter, to bring this up and put together an IPN project and see what it would lead. And as it turns out, then we got one of our ex-chair and one of our board members, Michael Snell, who basically became quite active and actually applied and managed to create the IPN-ISOC chapter, and one of the things, and I will follow up, I think Garth, you mentioned in terms of, so SFA ISAC is a chapter, but we would like to make the IPN-ISAC an ALS member as well at some point. We'll go through the application process. So I'm the vice chair for SFA ISAC, but I am also the secretary for the IPN. In terms of other projects, we had also we have actually I'm going to go to the planned projects. We had that we have the Digital Divide Technology Solutions project, which I submitted, we discussed here as a group, and I submitted and discussed this folks in London, including Glenn and others, and I brought this up with many chapters. It's in the exploration phase. We want to see where we can take this. And then we also have another project we are working on with the Peace Corps and SFA ISAC. It's a collaborative effort, and it's basically a gear to give tools to Peace Corps volunteers in developing countries. And in the future, as I said, we want to work as much as possible with local universities to promote post-academic collaboration and look what the opportunities may be for research and development, including research they can do to help provide new technologies for that will help resolve the digital divide. The next slide just shows the insert basically in the Google conference we have regarding the IPN interplanetary network. And I think the last slide is SFA ISAC engagement with ICANN at large. We do our best, and we want to learn much more about the ICANN, have our community much more about the ICANN and our connection to the ICANN as SFA ISAC and as IPN ISAC. And we participated in London. I was there myself, including helping campaign groups and so on. We want to see where we can take the digital divide technology solutions as, I don't know if we can form a work group or something like that within ICANN, but that would be great to basically have ICANN and ISAC involved as well as IEEE. And overall, we're looking forward to working with ISAC Canada, ISAC Quebec, ISAC BC, ISAC New York, and as well as many other chapters that we got in contact with, including myself contacting them in London. And it's great to have a mentor such as Glenn McKnight, who has basically provided a huge amount of guidance and still does in terms of how to navigate, whether it's CROPP or whether it's the Digital Divide Technology Solutions Project and so on. And we also look forward to participating in other events like IEEE. Glenn had mentioned this, so I like to basically engage with the IEEE Global Humanitarian Technology Conference, which is coming in San Jose as well. So it's stuff like this that basically makes ICANN and the at-large structure and at-large organizations basically very, very useful to the community. And this is the kind of stuff I like to reach out to the community and universities, tell them, look, this is what we're doing. We are an ISAC chapter, but we work closely with ICANN. We are an at-large structure, and you can participate as well. So this is part of the outreach. And I am going to be down in LA in October as well, and hopefully and volunteer for the Naralo event, as well as hopefully distribute some information about the ISAC chapters and stuff. And that's it. Hopefully I remain reasonably within time.
No, thank you so much, Constantine. This is Garth again. We were really sorry to lose Annalisa, but we're really happy to have you. And if you talk to her, please give her our best. And I think that the presentation itself is still being loaded. Maybe we can leave that up through the duration of the call so people can scroll through it at their leisure. Moving on, if anybody has any questions about the presentation, about any of Constantine's projects, especially the space-based, because that to me is extremely fascinating and represents the future. I'm sure that Constantine would be happy to take any of your questions at any time on this. And
yes,
our
please.
Next
yes, thank you.
Item, after the spotlight is committee and working group activities. Do we have Louis on the line? If he could give us a brief on any non-com progress.
Yes, Louis speaking. You hear me?
Yes, I do. S'il vous plaît.
Right. So, well, there's no report card for the last meetings. No news on that side. We had a meeting last week, and we'll have one in 3 more weeks. What we're doing right now is we're going through the evaluation process of the leadership team, and we'll also have to work with a private company who's working for ICANN on that. So it's answering an awful lot of questions on the performance of the 3 members of the leadership team. And we also have to say a couple of words on how to improve this year's non-com, including, of course, the wiki, the new wiki that we've been using. There's not much more than that to say right now. We've been last week talking about the next meeting in L.A., of course, and it's going to be kept secret for now. So this is the report for today.
What's being kept secret?
Everything, my friend.
Everything. All right. Well, appreciate it. And if anybody has any questions for Louis that are not of a secret nature, I'm sure he'd be happy to answer them. ATRT, I don't know if there's any other updates on accountability and transparency. I think that there was a document that was sent around just today by Olivier. Are there any updates in accountability and transparency, Olivier?
Yeah, thanks very much, Garth. It's Olivier speaking. No specifics at the moment. The ATRT process itself is still moving forward. The board has voted to agree to all of the ATRT2 recommendations, so the second Accountability and Transparency Review Team recommendations. Now, staff has held a couple of calls with so ICANN staff have held a couple of calls with the supporting organization, advisory committees, and stakeholder group leaders of ICANN. They've been unable to provide an exact calendar of implementation of these recommendations. As far as the follow-up accountability process is concerned, there is supposed to be a working group that is going to be dealing ICANN-wide with accountability. The status at the moment is equally as confusing because a proposal was made by staff for a specific 2 working groups, one being an assembly of a lot of people and one being a more restricted steering group of some sort. That system has now been somehow rejected by the community because the steering group, that is the one that makes the decisions, would have had a I think 7 or 8 members of the group selected as experts, external experts, coming for, and selected by the ICANN board. So there is some pushback for the board to select people to go on that group that will actually make the final recommendations and decisions. So that's where we are at the moment. There is a call of supporting organization and advisory committee leaders later on this week, which I will be attending, and I'll be able to report back to the community afterwards. But we're in a funny situation at the moment with time being a bit lost on this process that really needs to start as soon as possible because, as you know, it is also somehow connected to the transition of stewardship of the NTIA functions since there needs to be accountability on several levels for the stewardship of NTIA functions to take place, for the transition to take place for these INA functions. That's it.
Okay. Evan had his hand up next, and after Evan, Judith. Go ahead, Evan.
Thanks, Garth. Olivier basically gave all the factual commentary absolutely accurate about what's going on. My own thoughts about this is I am starting to wonder if the process as it exists right now is being set up to fail. There are some alternative paths that are being suggested by some people. The fact that ICANN senior management wants to seem to heavily stage manage what's going on, appointing some so-called subject matter experts above the objections of the community, splitting this off into an assembly and a council, neither of which has very equitable representation, and having done this, basically having gone into a vacuum and putting this out to the community, and what do you think, and then being surprised that there's such a backlash. I'm at this point starting to wonder if we need some kind of an external forum, possibly outside ICANN, that is not managed by people within the organization that have a stake in the outcome, in order to have something that is truly not only fair but perceived to be in the public interest. I've been making a couple of contacts myself to see whether or not there might be some other organizations within the IGF, within ISOC, within elsewhere, of other locations outside ICANN that might actually be a better respected forum in which to have this conversation. Having ICANN staff in charge of a conversation about the accountability of ICANN staff is starting to come across as problematic as a lot of people thought it would in the beginning, and I'm really starting to get the feeling that I'm starting to see some repetitions of history in instances where things have pretty well almost been designed to fail. So be aware there are certain people within the community that are actively working to try and alleviate this. Whether that's going to happen through tweaks of the existing proposal or essentially a reinvention of it is yet to be seen. Thanks.
Thanks, Evan. This is Garth. I certainly understand your criticisms and your concerns, but can you help me define what the failure would look like when you say it's designed to fail? What does failure look like in your mind?
Failure is the inability to come up with a community consensus. Put it this way, Garth. This accountability group was supposed to have had its first meeting in London. Here it is. We're halfway between London and L.A., and we still don't have a clue of what these bodies look like, let alone getting populated. So, you know, the ability of this group to have any kind of preparation or framework, you know, for all we know, this group may be seeing itself for the first time at LA, and even that, at this point, is starting to seem as not guaranteed. Olivier is right. When we talk about accountability, we're not just talking about staff; we're talking about the entire community. But you know, at this point, it is not the community that is causing the upheaval that we're seeing. It's not the community that's talking about appointing experts into these groups or saying, well, we want like for instance for the assembly. I believe the initial proposal is for every supporting organization and advisory council to have 7 people on the assembly, except for the GNSO, which would be given 16. Where does that number come from? Why are those numbers considered fair to anybody? Absolutely beats me. This was just sort of tossed out, and I have no idea where even the frames of reference came by in order to create that kind of the thinking. So that's the kind of thing. So things are just so confused. I mean, if somebody were to design a process that would lead to either an impasse or an inability to meet, I couldn't think of doing it better than is being done now.
Okay.
Did that answer your question?
Yeah, I mean, I'm asking you to look in your crystal ball. I mean, but the crystal ball ain't so crystal clear. Judith, you have your hand up. Go ahead.
Oh, sorry. No, my question was related to when we talked about accessibility. Did we talk about the point that was mentioned on about closed captioning, or are we talking about it when we talk about the accessibility committee?
I mean, we were talking about, we can talk about any points along those lines. I mean, this is something that we're definitely continuously concerned about. From what I understand, the last word that we heard is that that kind of captioning would be too expensive, quote unquote. I would prefer to get a dollar value on how much that would cost and what types of different packages are we talking about. So before we can say that it's too expensive to do, I want to know what the actual dollar value is. And this
I
came
can
up
get
actually
you.
Our thematic session,
I
and
can
I
get
said that. It was part of our thematic report. So go ahead, Judith.
I can get you that. I've been talking to Andrea Sachs.
Okay.
Who heads up the ITU task force on that. And she gave me one figure. She couldn't believe people said it was too expensive.
Can you send me that? Is that on paper? I would love to see it, Judith.
Yeah, so she will. So she just, I was writing about because I was, Glenn and I have been brainstorming about accessibility issues. And we're trying to get more people engaged from the VBUG and from the ISOC disability chapter to actually review these conferencing materials. Because from what I understand, a lot of the conferencing materials of these websites like Adobe Connect or others are not very accessible to people who are blind or just the way they're formatted, and also the way blind people have a screen reader which takes up the audio channel, which means that they can't then look at chat and they can't raise their hands and they can't comment. We get around that by having the Adigo so that they can then have a voice on one side and the computer on the other. But there's a lot of issues that we were discussing, and especially on the captioning, they suggest that as opposed to the live transcriptions that we've been having that are not as good. But I'm trying to get some more explanation on what the costs are. I got a small figure of, I think it was 120 or 130, but an hour. But I have to get more to the bottom of it because I didn't ask her about the costing, but I will ask her if she can tell us what the costing of it is. Because it seems that is the way the IGF is going. That's what the ITU has been doing. There's a big push on the ITU side to get in line with captioning.
Okay.
And so that is a big push, and I can follow up with that for
yeah.
you.
Yeah, I think that having the dollar values, knowing the dollar values is very important, and understanding the technology better. This is why we need the actual folks from the community who use this technology and can tell us which ones are the best ones. Then we figure out how much they cost, and then we find out what is this, you know, mysterious threshold that is too expensive to give people access to the meetings. Okay.
Yeah, she joked at that. She's like, how could they think that? It's not. So
okay.
It's just like a silly. So Glenn and I are working in a technology task force and trying to engage some of our community with that and to find out some information and then also to report back, because this is also something that I think is very important, and we want to make sure that we cover it and that everyone is successful, which comes down to maybe some things like reminding everyone when you're on call, reminding people to ask the attendees list for questions, because they may not have the ability to raise their hand.
Okay. All right. I want to give the floor to Alan. Thank you, Judith. Go ahead, Alan.
Thank you. I put my hat up in response to what Evan was saying. I guess I don't take this as a malicious attempt to sabotage things, but just the combination of incompetence and the standard ICANN way of doing things, which is unfortunately to go off in a corner, have private discussions, and then present a document or toss something over a wall and
when you get the reaction, then go back and huddle again quietly. And I think we're seeing the lack of transparency in this process is what we're trying to fix. The overall lack of transparency, which is being exhibited in this process, is one of the whole issues. And you know, I'm not quite as pessimistic as Evan is, but they better get their act together really quickly because time is running out. The IANA process, as has been noted, depends on accountability being addressed. And there's something really broken at this point, and I'm not
okay.
sure.
I mean, I'm sorry to put people on the spot or do something dangerous. Alan, Evan, Olivier, or anybody else, can we pinpoint where inside the framework this delay or obstruction is occurring? And I see Olivier already has his hand up. Go ahead, Olivier.
Garth, it's Alan. I think using the term obstruction is argumentative and is presuming something, which I'm not sure that we can really presume.
Is it worse than incompetent?
Yes.
Okay. All right. Olivier, you and then Evan.
Yes, thanks very much, Garth. It's Olivia speaking. I was just going to ask a question, actually, to Judith. She mentioned she had spoken to a person, and I didn't quite catch who she'd spoken to with regards to an external organization to look at accountability. That was the question. But to answer your question quickly, I think that there's much to do with incompetence and just a general, having very little time for things. So things being rushed through and not thought out properly before they're being shared with the community. I don't think there's any malice in there, or at least at the moment, I don't think there's any such thing. Thanks.
Okay, Evan?
Garth, I think I would sum it down to something. It's not malice. They're not stupid people, and they're not evil people. I think what we've got is a senior management within ICANN at this point that still doesn't understand what it means to be multi-stakeholder. In a regular corporate environment, what they're doing is perfectly reasonable. This is not a normal environment like this. This is something in which you can't just do top down. This is not something where you design things and then expect the people to bring in comments so that you can tweak it. The concept of going to the community at the beginning of a process, not the end of the process, is critical to the way this kind of thing should work. And you would think that the senior staff of ICANN have been in their place for long enough to understand that there's some uniqueness to the way ICANN operates. It's not a regular corporation. It's not even a regular nonprofit. And I have serious doubts now, having seen the way this process goes, about whether or not senior staff really understands what it means to be multi-stakeholder. It's not that they're evil. It's not that I don't think they're evil, and I don't think they're incompetent. We've got we've got well-meaning, smart people that just don't understand the dynamics of the organization, and I think that's our problem. The concept of bottom up in an organization this big, it still doesn't click very well with some people, and unfortunately, some of those people happen to be at the top of the pyramid. So I wouldn't say it's incompetence. I wouldn't say it's malice, because you talk to them, they're smart people. There are smart people at the top, and they're not evil. They don't mean to do this to the community. It's just, as John, ICANN management, the part of the organization that you would expect and that you would count on to understand the unique characteristics of this organization, to me still don't get it, and I think that's at the heart of this. Thanks.
No, okay. Thank you for that insight, Evan. This is really, really important, and it's crucial to everything that we're doing. If nobody has any objections, we have to hurry things along because we do have the follow-up outreach call right after this one. We have a Future Challenges Working Group, and I may have a few suggestions for that, but I'm going to save them for offline, and Evan and I and whoever else can discuss it later. Crop, we've gone over quite a bit. Unless somebody from the Crop Committee has something that wasn't brought up before, I'm going to move on. No? Okay. At-large Finance and Budget Subcommittee, if anybody has any comments, please speak quickly to that. No? Okay. Privacy and Proxy Services Accreditation, if anybody has any items to that, please speak up quickly. Evan, do you have an old hand or a new hand?
Gone.
Okay. Okay. Board selection process. I don't think that's ongoing anymore. And then the accessibility working group is something that we continue to talk about. At large advisory committee ALAC issues. I would like to turn over the floor quickly in order to Olivier, Evan, Eduardo, and Alan to discuss any ALAC issues they wish to discuss. Please.
Thanks very much, Garth. It's Olivia speaking. So there were quite a few statements last month, but the only three that are up for comments at the moment are to do with two character domain names in the new generic top-level domain name space. So the applicant guidebook has prescribed a number of things with regards to having two character domain names at the second level of new GTLDs. So let's say you've got a generic top-level domain dot example, and so you'd have something like AA dot example, or a UK dot example, or this sort of thing. And basically, the current arrangements have some restrictions, and what the different applicants for these new top-level domains are asking is that these restrictions be lifted. The three current statements being drafted are essentially going to be the same. The first one is one that is due in a few days ago, and so we're a little bit late on this, and it will go. I think the public comment period for it has finished already. And Dave and Antinix Dane, who is the pen holder on this, will provide the latest version in a couple of hours, and then the ALAC vote will start. The future two additional statements that we will have this month are essentially the same, but it might be that you might wish to tweak them a little bit. So they have to be in separate threads as well. But that's essentially the only issue at the moment. Thank you.
Okay. Next on the list is Evan, I believe. Go ahead, Evan, if you have any ALAC issues.
No, thanks. I did a follow-up to what Olivia just said about the two character domains. I'm satisfied with the statement. Just to let you know what's on my radar in my involvement with the new GTLD committee, the issue of public interest commitments, their unsuitability in the new GTLD program, that's an issue that refuses to go away. It's unfortunate, in fact, that some of what's called the Class 1 names that were contentious that the GAC had indicated it had a problem with, ICANN has started to do contracts with them with essentially no public interest stuff with teeth in them. And so this is a concern. We did a public comment on the public interest commitments issue. We're still waiting on a summary from staff, and the new GTLD committee of the ALAC will get together to try and figure out next steps after that. So that's what's on my plate. The other thing, as co-chair of the Future Challenges Group, we're going to be charged with trying to deal with the ALAC response to all the accountability stuff that was just talked about. And so if anybody here is interested in joining the Future Challenges Working Group, it is going to essentially, at least for the time being, morphing into a group that is going to be overseeing the ALAC response to what ICANN is doing on accountability and transparency issues going forward. So those are essentially the things on my plate. The IANA and the accountability stuff has essentially consumed just about everything to do with ICANN that doesn't have to do with rolling out the new GTLDs, at least from what I can see.
Okay. Thank you very much. Is Eduardo on the line? I didn't hear Eduardo earlier. If Eduardo's not here, I'm going to move.
I'm on the line, but I don't have anything to say.
Okay. Thank you. Alan, go ahead, and you have your hand up as well, so please.
Yeah, I want to make a comment on the two-character or second-level names. Unless the statement has changed in the last day or two, I'm not happy with it. It is, at this point, or last time I looked at it, it's essentially saying not only are we in agreement that the exemption the registries are asking for should be granted, but in fact, there's not even a reason to protect the ccTLDs. But noting that unprotecting the ccTLDs is not a question right now. It's just, may these registries release the two character names that are not ccTLDs, that are not currently in the 3166 list. It then, however, goes on to say, but if we do that, that is, release the ones that are not country codes, if they become country codes sometime later, as new countries and territories are approved, then we have an unequal playing field, and that's not fair. And I really have a problem with us, on a relatively simple question, coming out on both sides of the issue, saying, yes, do it, but we are uneasy if you do it. If we can't come up with a definitive answer on X or Y, then I think we should be silent and not make a statement. You know, this is not one of those issues where we're presenting multiple issues to the board and saying they have to make a choice. This is going to a committee looking at the specific requests from the registries, and if we're not in a position to really give them advice which we can stand behind, I think we should be silent. Thank you.
Okay. Thank you very much, Alan. If nobody has any further comments, if no one has any further comments about any of these other topics, I do want to give everybody a five-minute break before we begin the outreach call, and I'll wait a few pulses to see if anybody has any comments. Otherwise, we will see you at half past the hour for the next call. Thank you very much, everybody.
Some of us have to leave at that one.
No, of course.
Bye.
Yeah, it's only people in the outreach committee.
Thanks, everybody.
Thanks, everyone. Talk to you in five.